This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this special edition of the Strang Report, the podcast to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about a church that is experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just north of Atlanta, Georgia, in Marietta. The pastor is and founder is Miles Rutherford. The church is called Worship with Wonders, and powerful things are happening. And when I heard about it, I invited Miles, who I've known for a number of years, to be on my podcast to tell us what is happening spiritually, the prayer meetings, the victories, the revival, people repenting, but also tell how the church recently moved into a new facility that was really a miracle. I think you'll really be encouraged by this podcast, so stay tuned for my conversation with Pastor Miles Rutherford.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Miles. Thank you for doing this podcast. I think this is such a great story. We're going to be reporting it on charismanews.com. And I'll also just mention that I recently did a podcast with you on Pentecost and the Azusa Street Revival. People may want to check it out on the podcast. So welcome, and I want to hear the story. Let's start first talking about the spiritual things that are happening. You described this to me, people crying out to God at the altar, prayer meetings going on where there was almost a leader. What is happening there in Georgia?
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Steve, for having me on this incredible podcast, first and foremost. Delana and I love you very much, love everything that Charisma and you relate to, and it just blesses us all through the years. But yeah, Worship with Wonders Church, we started back in 2006. 10 years later, had to leave the facility that we were at and did not have a place to go. This was a few years back. And, the only slot that was available that came open to us 60 days out was a Sunday night in another man's facility in a wedding kind of venue chapel. And, nobody wanted to go to church on Sunday nights. And so Delana and I really got together and said, man, is this the will of God? And the Holy Spirit just said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take back Sunday nights. Matter of fact, do a hashtag, taking back Sunday night. Because it was the DNA fabric of who we are. We're a revival born kind of church. People really experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit at Worship with Wonders. And so we went for it. It was very unpleasant at first because we lost half of our church. It was 20 minutes down the road, half of our finances, half of our staff. It just seemed like God was shaking things up a bit. We lost all of that. And I said, God, hey, I'm not sinning. I haven't had an affair. We're not cheating out anything with money. I mean, what's going on? And the Lord just said, hey, wait a minute. I've got something I want to show you. Just stay with me. And so we went, and even through the losing of that, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to us and said, Miles, Delana, I'm not holding you back. I am pulling you back like a slingshot. And a lot of people, when things like this happen, you think, God, where are you? And God works when we're uncomfortable. And there was a major moment of discomfort Delana and I went through, verge of feeling the weight of giving up, but we did not give up. We persevered because there's a call in our life. And if anybody has a call in your life, you know exactly what that feels like. Sometimes you don't want to do it. But God says, hey, you have to. This is what I've called you to do. We had Sunday night services, and oh my goodness, I have never felt such a unity when we started those a few years back. And all of a sudden, we went from 150 to 200 people streaming in on a Sunday morning to thousands upon thousands streaming on Sunday nights. And then all of a sudden, people started driving across state lines because they found this church to be a place where revival was happening and deliverance and people were getting set free. especially from identity crisis. People were driving church people, people in ministry, Steve, that have dealt with homosexuality, lesbianism, that are just saying, I don't want this anymore. I don't like this spirit that drives me. And they would drive in and we would see people get saved. We had a gentleman who came with his boyfriend and he had a full face of makeup on. And he sat there and grabbed the chair in front of us as the ministry was going forth. Delana was singing and I was preaching and I watched him, didn't think anything of it because he was just one of many. And he was grabbing that seat in front of him. And he went out, got in the car with his boyfriend, and his boyfriend looked at him with tears in his face. And he said, what was that I just felt? And he was an atheist. And the gentleman who later received Jesus, he said, you know, at that moment, I realized I have something that I grew up knowing, that I turned from. And it took me to get into a place like this to see God change his life. Well, that gentleman is still living for God, on fire for God. And that is one of the many testimonies that have happened with these Taking Back Sunday nights. There's just a hunger and a desire for the things of the Spirit of God. Now, fast forward. We are now, during that Taking Back Sunday night, God opened the facility to us. It was a miracle facility, 46,000 square feet of property, 5 acres right here in the heart of Marietta, and opened it up, gave it to us. We had a struggle, a battle to get through that with things in the area, and we can go in that if you'd like. But we finally made it here. And ever since we've been here, we have done nothing but feel a surge in the power of the Holy Spirit. I was telling you on the other broadcast that the thing that's different over the last few months, even during COVID and after, 2020 and here in 21, is we're seeing people come to the altar and they're not just getting saved, but they are repenting. I mean, weeping, a deep cleansing is happening to men and women that are coming to the altar. I know we're not the only church in America that is experiencing this, but there's seemingly a strong surge of anointing that is knocking people down, 45 minutes trembling before the Lord, just experiencing a deep touch. And I haven't seen that for 20 some years. I've just seen people get touched or delivered and they go, but there's something different, Steve. There's an awakening happening, and I know that our church is part of that awakening.
Tell us a little bit more about how you got this facility. I've not been there. I've actually attended your church when you were at the other place. It looked like a pretty rundown shopping center. I don't, it must have gone bankrupt or something. And I've seen pictures of it now. It's gorgeous. So, what happened? How did you get it? And why would anyone object to a church taking over a something that was really kind of an eyesore?
Yeah, absolutely. When we seen this property, they told us what the price was, and we said that's something we can do, and we moved forward. It was an abandoned shopping center, and get this, the footings were dug in 2006. Well, that was the exact year that we moved to Atlanta, called by God, and started a church. No one was here, but I really felt like that was the Lord saying, the moment you moved is the moment I started on your building. And wow. The building was halfway done, and then the recession hit, as all of us know, in 08, I believe. And the gentleman who had built this building was building two different complexes, and he had to let one go. Well, this has been an eyesore since 2008. It has been never been occupied by anybody. And it had sat here with a huge fence, looked like Fort Knox. The neighbors was just, they were just so upset about it. The city had actually talked about tearing it down. The gentleman that we purchased it from, he was Muslim, and he wasn't doing anything with it. And we said, we can make this beautiful. Well, here's the thing. There's a church across the street. It's a small white church. There's a church down the road. It's a small church, white as far as color. There's another church down the road. There's three churches right around us, Steve. And here's the deal. For some reason, when they purchased this property, they put a stipulation on it that no houses of worship can be in this facility. And I thought, well, you know what? The devil sure didn't like us moving to Atlanta back in 2006. And he went ahead and, you know, said, we're going to make sure Worship with Wonders don't get this building. And so there was a stipulation, and I had to go before the county commissioners to remove that stipulation. Well, in doing so, you got to put a sign out. And I had one of the churches close to us reach out to the SCLC and you said, hey, I need you to help us with this. We don't want this church in here. And so they went around the neighborhood with clipboards trying to get people's names and petitions because they felt it would be more suitable for $12,000 of tax-paying dollars to be put back into the city more than having a essential church touch the community. Well, when we got there and stood before the commissioners, you know, the SCLC stood up and said, there's no need for a church to be in this area. We could be using these tax dollars, et cetera. And I was puzzled because it's a Christian organization. And so I got up and I spoke and I said, hey, listen, we're going to revitalize this community. We're going to make something that is a blight to the community, very bright and vivid. There's 14 storefronts that are empty. We're going to bring businesses to them. We're going to service the community. We're going to help people. We feed over 47,000 pounds of food per year on a minimum. Last year was 101 because of COVID, 101,000. So we're going to do something for this community. Well, all seven commissioners raised their hands in favor, and the courtroom went wild. Matter of fact, they had to slam the gavel down because there were Pentecostal people up in the courtroom. And so he was like, hey, we can't do this out of order, but we're going to take a recess. I know you're excited. And we began work. And, you know, it took a year. A lot of our people showed up and did a lot of the work. And 1 year exactly later to the date, we took occupancy. And both times when we got it at the county commissioner's office, it went to the front page of the Marietta Daily Journal. And also Channel 2 Action News came and covered it. Christian Post and some other meaningful people around the nation covered it because it was such a huge story. And then when we came into the facility 1 year later, it went back on the front page. And so, you know, pretty much what the enemy was trying to stop, actually, it brought an embarrassment to his kingdom. And this community has been touched and changed since we've been here. And it's because of the people of God that are in this house. It's an incredible place. So that's kind of how it happened.
Well, that's a great story. And of course, it was not on our radar screen. I wish it had been. We will cover it now, of course, on Charisma News. But, you know, to me, Miles, this is a great example to other churches. You know, there are a lot of churches that face opposition. It's hard for them to find a place to meet that they can afford, especially in some of the bigger cities. Your situation was a little bit different because the stipulation had been put on. It seems a little odd to me. Back in the early part of my career, I worked for the Orlando Sentinel and had to cover county commission meetings and zoning hearings. And, you know, so I'm well familiar with that. And I remember even back then, I realized that it was a danger to the church to have churches, at least in our area, go before the county commission to get approval. And in our area, you know, there's different zonings, as I'm sure there is everywhere. You know, you have commercial zoning, and if you want to build a Wendy's and it's got the right zoning, you don't have to go and ask anybody. And then there's residential zoning and industrial and on. But in our area, at least, there's no church zoning. And the rationale back then was that's because we can put churches in industrial or residential or whatever, which sounds nice. Until you get a county commission that is against churches, that think they're full of hate or that they don't pay taxes and you know, we need a building there where people pay taxes, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's been a little bit dicey all over the country. And thank God that you won that and that you're reaching out to the community and feeding them and, You mentioned these other churches and even said they were white churches. I know your church well enough to know that it's multicultural. The few times I've been there, a lot of different races and nationalities are there because they want to be touched by the Spirit of God. And I'm just so encouraged by what you do and how I've seen you grow over the years. I noticed a couple of times in this podcast and the previous one, you talked about you'd never seen anything like this in 20 years. And I thought, of course, you haven't. You're only 40 years old, so you weren't observing anything before you became an adult, apparently. Because some of these things that we're, and I'm teasing you, of course, but some of these things we talk about go way back beyond. In my case, I'd say, well, I haven't seen this in 40 years. You know, part of it's just the perspective we have. And that's one of the reasons I do podcasts is, you know, just to share different perspectives from different people. But I want you to tell my listeners, some of whom are in Atlanta or some of whom will share this with people in Atlanta, how they can get to your church, tell about live streaming. And then I want you to talk about the book that you've written called The Baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm so excited about it that I actually want to do a separate podcast on that book alone, but tell people how they can get it.
Absolutely. Well, where we are is in Marietta on the Northwest Corridor of Atlanta, Powder Springs Road. You can look up worshipwithwonders.org or go to Facebook for our live streaming. YouTube, we live stream in the mornings and on Sundays, as well as on Sunday nights when we have Taking Back Sunday nights. If you want to know about Taking Back Sunday night, you can hashtag Taking Back Sunday night. There's hundreds upon hundreds of stories and amazing testimonies. My wife and I, Miles and Delana Rutherford, we have our Instagrams, Miles Rutherford, Delana Rutherford. You can look us up. It'll direct you to everything that we put on there. God is just doing some amazing things. And yes, I am 46.
Steve. Oh, no, don't tell me.
Crazy.
You're making me feel old.
I will.
You were like in your 20s when I met you.
Oh, I don't know. That was about 33 when I met you. You still.
Well, you look so young. I guess I thought you. Yeah.
Nah. You did 70 pull-ups on your 70th birthday or something. I that's pretty much worth saying something. I'd be bragging on that. Sure. And you put a beating on me in the racquetball court, though. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So I guess I can humbly acknowledge that I did 70 chin-ups on my to celebrate my 70th birthday. But anyway, that's a whole different story. And I guess it just shows the listeners that we actually are friends because we can tease each other. But
absolutely.
Go ahead and tell
how
people can get your book. I think this is very important. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit makes a difference in people's lives. It gives people power. It's what actually started the church on the day of Pentecost. That is when the church started, when the Holy Spirit was outpoured. And it was dormant in most parts of the church until, 115 years ago at Azusa Street. And people can look up the podcast that you and I did on that recently. So tell us about the book and how people can get it.
Absolutely. Well, at the end of 2020, God said, hey, I want you to write a mini book on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want you to write it for everybody, however, specifically for the generations underneath you. They are led by Jesus, and they've been taught that they're led by Jesus, but they don't realize that they can lead like Jesus. In other words, Jesus didn't do any miracles that are recorded that I know of until the Holy Spirit was present. Of course, we knew he had the Holy Spirit, but through the water baptism and the Holy Spirit descended, Spirit led him, and all of a sudden miracles broke out. And he said, they know me, but they think of me as a savior, but I'm also their example. And I want them to do what I have paid a price for them to do. In other words, I don't want them just to get to heaven. I want heaven to get into them. And that is when I said, God, I'm going to write this book. And it's a little mini book chopped full of scripture and doctrine. It's something we give to new converts here. that when they receive Jesus, to tell them, hey, water baptism, and this is the next step. And it's a way to let people know. If you know somebody that is seeking the baptism and they're struggling or don't understand it, or maybe they have misconceptions about it. You know, I'm like you, Steve. The church didn't start until the baptism of the Holy Spirit fell. And many people think that the only thing that changes is you speak in an unknown language or in tongues. However, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so much more. And the reason you see that is because it immediately shows us in Acts 2 and 40 that all of a sudden relationships begin to form. People that didn't like each other started liking each other. And, you know, the Bible says that the love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I truly believe that the greatest sign is not great works, but great love. And I believe that with all my heart, that when you are truly baptized, it's hard to hate people. It's impossible. It's impossible. And we're not going to see this great awakening that we're all anticipating, we're on the cusp of, until we find a church that is baptized and submersed in the Holy Spirit so strongly that racism is not even a part of their life. Hatred is not a part of their life. And the unity of the Spirit, as the Bible says, becomes their main focus. And you think about Acts 2, you think about the 120 that were up there. Not all of them could have been in agreement, but when the Holy Spirit fell, they were all in unity, the Bible says. So I really feel like that is the huge thing that God is trying to do. He wants a church to respond to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ask for it. And so God said, write a book to tell them how to ask me, because they're not asking. And I want them to ask, because I've got some incredible things, greater works, greater love that I want to show them and give to them. So I wrote this book. It's a very small mini book, but it's easy to read, and it helps the reader understand how to receive, what it's all about. Who is he? Who does the baptizing? What are tongues? What's the fruit? What's the gifts? All of these little things that we may take for granted are in this book. And I will say, when I say 20 years ago, Steve, I'm talking about when I was in my 20s, I would go to places like a Benny Hinn arena where you would just weep and cry because the presence of God was so strong. And that kind of moved away after a few years, and the presence of God has never gone away, but I do feel a resurgence in the Spirit-filled churches of revival breaking out. Everywhere we're going to preach, Delana and I both, worshiping and singing, we're seeing all these churches having people that are coming up and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're seeing amazing testimonies. We even had a man in the church raised from the dead. After being dead, and we're just seeing the gifts and the callings of God just come forth.
Well, you know, as we wrap up this podcast, I can't leave without you telling that story. You told it to me in conversation. It's an amazing story. And, you know, we hardly hear of these things. And when we do, a lot of times they can't really be nailed down. So tell me the story that you just described.
Absolutely. We, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to Delana and I and said, I want your people to wake up in the morning and I want them to pray in the Holy Ghost for 15 minutes. I reached out to everybody that follows us and I said, who will do this? Well, our church did this. Lots of people around the nation did it with us. And we prayed every morning. We'd wake up. We wouldn't go get coffee. We wouldn't have conversations or check our phone. We'd spend 15 minutes praying in the Holy Spirit. It felt odd. Because, you know, typically when you're praying the Holy Spirit, it takes a minute to really get in there. But after a while, the Spirit of God began to take over and people were praying, testifying about all these wonderful things that were happening for them. Well, after 30 days of that, we stopped because that's what the Holy Spirit said to do. Immediately after, we had a Christmas cantata. Now, our church is wild, Spirit-filled. I mean, it's just wonderful. The flow of God is amazing. Well, a Christmas cantata, you're all dressed up. Everybody has certain things. It's a planned kind of night. You're not expecting anything out of the norm. And we're there, and we're about to close the service, and we're all dressed up in our red and green and Christmas looking. And a woman shows up to the right and begins to manifest I mean, demon manifest on Christmas night. We just got done. The children just got done singing. And my wife jumps off the stage and casts the devil out of her. I mean, deliverance happens. And all of a sudden, people start praying in the Holy Ghost. And they come grab us. And they said, there's a man that has dropped dead in the back. And I'm looking. And this is all on camera. We've got this all on camera. And walk in there. And they are compressing his chest. I mean, there's two EMTs that are certified in our church. And they're working this man. I go over there. And we're looking at this man. His eyes are wide open. His mouth is open. And they bring the defibrillators out. Well, after they get done compressing him, they stick the defibrillators on him. They shock him. And you look over there at the little LED readout, and it says no pulse. They compress again. And I'm sitting here, and it's the first time, Steve, that I actually have been where somebody's dead. I could see it, but I could not feel death. Normally, you can feel death in a room, or you can sense that that person's no longer there. But the place had been trained for the last 30 days to pray in the Holy Ghost. I have, Delana and I were like, my goodness, these people are just praying so loud in the Holy Spirit. You know, Jude 20 says to build up your faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 talks about, you know, when you don't know what to do, pray in the Holy Spirit. So the church was just erupting in the Holy Spirit. We put our hands up underneath that man's head. No defibrillators, nobody compressing the chest. And we shouted out, Holy Spirit, breathe. And he gasped for breath. I mean, you heard him loud. And he started breathing again. At that time, the paramedics that were not in our church had rolled in here from the local hospital, put him on a stretcher, came out. Well, a couple of days later, we didn't think anything about it other than we were just excited that the man had been resurrected. The EMT from our church, her name is Ty, and she said, Pastor, you know, I couldn't believe it. That man was dead for 15 minutes. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, he was dead for 15 minutes. I said, Ty, do you realize that the Holy Spirit spoke to us for 30 days to pray 15 minutes in the Holy Spirit? And that man was dead for 15 minutes. I believe God had a plan just to resurrect that man through our praying in tongues for 30 days. It was an amazing experience. Delana and I talk about it everywhere we go. You've got a lady who's being delivered from demons, and on the other side of the building, you have a man who gets resurrected in the same Christmas night when we weren't expecting it. And it's those kinds of miracles that I think churches all across the nation are beginning to see because they're so hungry and humble for a move of God. So I'm very, very excited to share that story. It was an amazing moment.
Praise God. And how exciting to share these kinds of stories on a podcast that is devoted to encouraging people to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And Miles Rutherford, I just want to thank you for taking time, for sharing your heart, for sharing your vision, for telling these stories. And I know it's a great blessing to my listeners, who I hope will share this with others who may be interested in these stories and who don't subscribe to the podcast. Of course, you can do it really on every platform that the podcast is. I'm trying to get out the word. You sharing it on social media or sharing it with friends helps us to get out the word. And as I've announced recently in several podcasts, about a week ago, we passed 10 million downloads. And the day I'm recording this, the staff set up a little celebration in the office. Totally took me by surprise with a little sign celebrating it. And, you know, we want to give God the glory. I would have never thought this many people would listen to my podcast. I'm just trying to cover, as I have been my whole life, what the Holy Spirit is doing. And podcasting has made it very easy to just talk to people like I have to Miles today about what's going on. And check out other podcasts on my Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I think you'll find other podcasts that you'll find interesting. So once again, I'll say thank you to my friend Miles. We need to get it together and play golf or some racquetball.
Absolutely.
Although I don't play golf racquetball like I used to when I was a whole lot younger, but we need to get together. I just really appreciate your friendship. Let me say that publicly. Delana is such a delight, and your kids, I've kind of watched them grow up over the years. So thank you, and thank you to my listeners for tuning in to the Strang Report today, the podcast to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.